Okay, guys, what I'd like you to do is I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of Mark in the New Testament, chapter 3. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 3. And so we're going to again look at the life of Jesus. Now, last week we looked at how people were trying to find fault with him. This week we're going to move into chapter 3, verses 7 through 21. And we're going to see a couple of things that are happening here. We're going to see a whole bunch of people wanting to follow Jesus. We're going to see him choosing his disciples and what he empowers them to do. But then we're also going to see his own family, his mother and brothers, coming to seize him. It's an interesting word, isn't it? Seize him because they think he's lost his mind. Isn't that crazy? They think Jesus is crazy, that he's gone off the deep end. And there could be various reasons for that. And from these three little stories that are together, we can really look at why people approach Jesus. People have different reasons for why they come. And we see that even today. People have different reasons why they come to a church or do anything spiritual. And this little bit of portion of Scripture kind of exposes it all for us. So let's look at it together. Let's take a look at what it says here. Start with verse 7. Jesus withdrew with his disciples to the sea, and a great crowd followed from Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem and Idumea and beyond the Jordan and from around Tyre and Sidon. And when the great crowd heard all that he was doing, that came to him. And he told his disciples to have a boat ready for him because of the crowd, lest they crush him. For he had healed many, so that all who had diseases pressed around him to touch him. And whenever the unclean spirits saw him, they fell down before him and cried out, "You are the Son of God." And he strictly ordered them not to make him known. And he went up on a mountain and called those whom he desired. And they came to him. And he appointed 12, whom he also named apostles, so that they might be with him and he might send them out to preach and to have authority to cast out demons. He appointed 12, Simon, to whom he also gave the name Peter, James, son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James, to whom he gave the name Boanerges, that is, the sons of thunder, Andrew and Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, and Thomas, and James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus. That's my favorite. Apostle name, just by the way. It just became my favorite in October, okay? And Thaddeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. And then he went home, and the crowd gathered again, so that they could not even eat. And when his family heard it, they went out to seize him, for they were saying, "He is out of his mind." Well, all right, so we got three different things happening here. And from that, we're going to see about approaching Jesus, about why people approach him and how they react to him. And that's very relevant to you and I today. So let's talk about, first of all, in verses 7 through 12, we're going to see people who approach him for selfish motives. Selfish motives. Now, I want you to understand that. We have a tendency to think that anybody who comes to church, they're coming just to worship the Lord. They're in the right place. Great, we're loved that you're here. But I'll be honest with you, you need to realize, if you haven't realized it yet, the longer in your church you begin to realize that people have different reasons for coming to church. And I'll be honest with you, people had different reasons for going to see Jesus. Now, you can't blame these folks for why they wanted to go see Jesus. If you had a loved one who's sick and you heard that there's this miracle man And notice what the scripture says. I mean, they're coming from not just northern Israel in a Galilee area. They're coming from all the areas around, from Jerusalem and Idumea, which is where Edom was. And then they're up into Sidon and Tyre. That's where modern-day Lebanon is. The word has spread throughout the entire area about a guy who can heal and cast out demons. And there you are. You maybe have a loved one, or maybe you have something wrong with you, and you know that this guy can take care of you. What are you going to do? You're going to go see that guy, right? But what I want you to see is that's the only reason they want to come see him. Their motives are selfish. Now, let me explain something to you. Jesus doesn't turn them away, does he? No. Even though their motives aren't right, he still what? Still heals them, right? Still casts out demons. So let's look at a couple things here. Look with me at verse 8. I think it's interesting. If you look at verse 8, here's what it says. And when the great crowd heard all that he was doing, they came to him. So here's what I want you to see. When people heard what Jesus could do, they came to him. They came to him just simply because of what he could do. What's motivating them? They have a need. This guy can meet it. So there they are. It doesn't change. I'm always amazed. I always am interested when people come to church. I always kind of observe them and try to figure out why they're here. And then eventually you realize they're here. Thankfully, it's not everybody. But some people will show up because right now they're in the midst of a crisis. Or they are in the midst of a need that is very great. And they need God to show up and do something. Either provide for them or take care of this problem. But they need God. And then eventually, here's what happens. The problem is solved. And then what? You never see them again. They got what they needed. God answered their prayers. God took care of a problem. God eliminated a problem. And then they're not there anymore. They don't need him anymore. They can go on. They came for the moment, but then they go on. There's also the folks who don't get what they want. They come and they pray and they're even giving and they're volunteering and they're hoping, Lord, look at all the stuff that I'm doing. You have to answer me. And then there's silence. They still have their problem. And eventually they what? They just give up. They quit coming. And they don't tell anybody that until people say, oh, you know, so-and-so, we haven't seen them in a while. Wonder what's happening with them. Well, they didn't need God anymore because God wasn't showing up for them. These people, can I be honest with you, it's interesting because the other Gospels bring it out. They came for one reason, what Jesus could do for them. In fact, for some of them, remember he feeds 5,000? They stuff themselves, 5,000. And then on another occasion, he feeds 4,000. They stuff themselves. And then he later gives a sermon about what it means to follow him. And everybody decides, who is this guy? And they leave. When he starts making demands on them about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. Kind of a symbolic picture, but they're like, who is this? And then they say, I'm out of here. Because that's not what they signed up for. They signed up for a full belly and for Jesus to meet their needs. But who's he to ask me of something? And so they're there for one thing only, and that is they hear what he can do, and so they come to him. God, do it for me. Do it for me. Now, here's the second thing I think is interesting. It comes at the end of the passage. If you look at verse 11, it's talking about the demons here. Verse 11, and whenever the unclean spirits saw him, they fell down before him and cried out, you are the Son of God. And he strictly ordered them not to make him known. Here's the reality. Unlike the demons, they did not understand who Jesus was. They didn't understand. I mean, seriously, think about it for a moment. All right? Let's say we've got Kerwinsville here. I think the last statistic I saw, we have about 2,400 people in our postal code. So that's not just in town, okay? That's everywhere around that has 16833 as their zip code. Okay, so you got 2,400 people here. If all of a sudden some guy showed up like Jesus, and if all of a sudden some dude showed up and he could heal and solve problems and everything just by being near him, would you go see him? Would you go see him? Yeah, we all would, right? Yeah. Why would we go see him? Why would we go see him? Because we're curious? No, because we've got a problem, typically, and we want him to what? Solve it for us, right? Now, but if he starts asking things of us and doing all this great thing, we're like, I don't have time for that. But would you say there's something special about him if he could do all that Jesus is doing? Yeah. Wouldn't that create a curious little interest in you as to how that's possible? I mean, seriously, these folks are all gathered around him, and he's doing things, which, by the way, can I stop you for a moment? There's one thing that Jesus did in the... Everybody knows Jesus healed the blind, right? In the Old Testament, you will not find a single incident of anyone being healed of blindness. You can look it up. The only time that it's even mentioned in the Old Testament is a prophet says that when the Messiah comes, he will heal the blind. So here you are, you got a bunch of people that are coming with all these diseases, the blind and everything, and he's healing them. It's never before happened, like even just with the incident of blindness being healed. And nobody's cluing in. Nobody's realizing we're in the midst of something different, something special here. Could this be the Messiah? Isn't that what the prophet said? But no. The only ones who are recognizing are the demons who are afraid of him. They're the only ones. Why? Because these folks are self-absorbed. And they only are there for God to do something for them. They don't need anything else. They're not really interested in anything else. And this is the approach I need you to understand. People might be interested in spiritual things, but it's only if it will what? Help them. That's one approach. Now there's a second approach. We'll spend a little bit more time here. I call it the approach of the committed. The committed. These are the people that he called to be his disciples. They left whatever they had to follow him. And there's some interesting things that come out of this passage that I think you and I need to be aware of. Because if you're here and you have decided to follow Jesus no matter what, there's some things you need to recognize here, okay? So look with me. All right, first one. Look with me at verse 13. And he went up on the mountain and called to him those, here it is, whom he desired. Now just stop for a moment. I want you to catch that phrase. So he goes up on the mountain, and it's not like, hey, call, come to me! It's not just, he's calling who? Whom he desired. All right, so here's the point. Jesus is calling people to himself, and they responded. He called them to himself, and they responded. These are people he wanted. Okay, so let me break it down to you, okay? I'll use me. April 1985, I am a freshman engineering student at the University of South Carolina. I spend my weekends partying. Totally self-absorbed with my life. I live at home because I'm commuting to the campus because I'm from Columbia. And I'm just thinking about myself. All of a sudden, I don't know, at some point there, that beginning of April, I kind of get this desire that I want to go to a Bible study. And just to be honest with you, because I'm from the South, my dad was raised a Baptist, so I thought, well, I'm a Baptist. Now, had I gone to a Baptist church? No. But you don't have to go to a Baptist church to claim you're a Baptist, right? You should know that, right? And so I was talking to another engineering student. His name was Ray. And I was saying, hey, have you been down to the Student Union building? The Southern Baptist had a big Student Union building, and I'd like to go there and check that out. He said, oh, you don't want to go there. He said, I'm involved in this study that happens on Tuesday night over at the Student Union building for the campus. And I said, okay, I'll go with you. And I went there, and I went to a study, and they had a missionary speaker there, and they had kids like my age getting up testifying about Jesus. And then I had questions. I wanted answers. And some guy said to me, you need to read the Gospel of John. And you guys know the story. I went home, got a Bible, and read it, and committed my life to Jesus. But here's what I want you to understand. How did I even get to that point? There was a desire. Where did that desire come from? I'm from an unchurched family. My family doesn't go to church. Why in the world would I even think about going to church? My life was okay. I had a job. I worked at the University of South Carolina School of Medicine. I was a lab technician working for a cardiologist cleaning up after his experimentation on dogs. If you're a dog lover, I'm sorry. I'm making money, I'm doing my studies, I'm partying, and all of a sudden there's this desire. Where did that come from? I'm telling you, that desire came from God. And that was the means to me to go and hear about him, and then for me to look into him, and then I came to Jesus. He's calling people. He's calling people today right in our community. They're right around you. Do you realize when people bring up spiritual things,